Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I am a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist. I love to geek out at plants. I love traveling to go see plants. I love going to people's homes and seeing their gardens. I just love plants and I love flowers. And this show right here is for you to get your gardening questions answered. And you can do that by 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's do our dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is corking, C-O-R-K-I-N-G. So it is a process in plants, particularly gourds and cacti, that is a normal and natural part of their growth and aging. Corking is also known as lignification. This is where vascular plants have complex organic polymers called lignins, which are deposited in their cell walls, making them rigid and woody. Lignin helps the plant harden and dry the outer tissue of the plant stem, resulting in a rough, cork-like texture. Corking can be identified by changes in color and texture, starting at the base of the plant and progressing upwards. It's not harmful, but it can indicate the plant's maturity and may require attention if it's accompanied by other signs of stress or damage. When it begins, corking can look like damaged scar tissue. Starting at the bottom of the plant, brown spots start to develop. It's a slow process, so if it happens quickly, it could be something else, like disease. As corking progresses, the texture of this area of the plant can start to resemble the bark of a tree. The primary reason for corking is the aging process, but environmental issues may impact when corking begins. Completely natural, won't harm, it cannot be prevented. With pumpkins, corking starts after 90 to 120 days when the stem stops moving nutrients within the plant. You will notice the stem turning from green to dark green or brown and become woody where the pumpkin is attached to the vine. The rind will also be hardening. You want to use sterilized pruners to cut the stem at an angle and remove the pumpkin to cure in a bright, cool place, 80 to 90 degrees on your patio. Plants that cork include pumpkins, gourds, cacti, and most species of trees. So the dirty word of the day is corking.
Yes.
So that's where you see those really attractive for Halloween decorations, the top where it gets green and brown and it kind of curves and it gets very woody. You can lift the lid of, you know, if you cut a lid in the top of a pumpkin.
Yes.
So corking is the dirty word of the day. So I'll be talking more about pumpkins, and I will, we'll get to that after the break. But 1-888-455-2967. If you can text 23680, let us know. I will get to some gardening questions. We have some texts. That's wonderful. So we're getting those in. But TJ said, last week I finally dug up and out my five-year-old little U-shaped hedge that, as a retired Arizona landscaper, I did sometimes water overhead late afternoon with lots of love, yet it wasn't enough. You suggested solarizing, but it could be too late for that. If I wait till spring and replant viburnum or lauropetalum, is black spot still an issue? With great respect, TJ. TJ, that's so nice to say that. Okay, so the issue with black spot is the disease is spread by spores. And so overhead watering or leaving the plants on, or leaving the plants to be wet for more than 5 hours causes black spot. Okay, so when you're watering in the late afternoon, the plants stay wet, and then that causes a disease issue. So what I would do, TJ, is take your hose and water the base of any plants. Don't get the leaves wet. Overhead watering is not needed. It's not necessary. Plants don't need water through their leaves. They absorb it through the roots. And so you want to, you know, I would just say water early morning between 5 and 10 a.m. And you should not get the black spot. If you do get it, you want to pick up all the leaves, okay? Do not leave them on the ground, and you want to use a fungicide. So you can use a product like Bayer Advance 3-in-1, which has a fungal disease control in it. It's got fertilizer in it and also, micro and macronutrients. So Bio Advance 3-in-1, disease and insect control, and that should help you get rid of it. So pick them all up. Don't leave them on, and clean your tools going from plant to plant so you don't spread it. And really try. It's hard here in Florida when we get this rain at 7 o'clock at night, like we have been the last couple of weeks, that the plants stay wet. So if you are getting that rainfall, you can use a fungicide on it to prevent it from going on. And I like Bayer Advance 3-in-1 or Bayer Advance Rose products. That'll keep it.
That's really good. Yeah, and a lot of people, it's not that you don't know, but it's like it once you say it out loud about having to disinfect your tools before you go plant to plant, and along with your lawn mowing equipment, it's crazy. Like, to me, it's just now hearing it out loud, it's like, oh, that's common sense.
Yeah,
you know?
To make sure you have clean tools and clean grounds and stuff like that. We're going to be back with a little bit of spicy pumpkin information for you. I'm Teresa Watkins. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and you're listening to a gardening show. If you'd like to call in, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we do have text messages. So, Lizzie, they're talking about you give your turkeys a 12-gauge turkey shot at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, that's Eric.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, why do you have turkeys unless you're going to eat them? But, you know, somehow that ended up being foiled. But anyway, he's not
That's
wrong.
Great. But he had a really good question. He says they're heading to Alabama for the last week of October, first week of November, Talladega National Forest area. Are there any gardens, historical sites you recommend at that type of the year? Well, Alabama has some beautiful botanical gardens. So I don't know exactly around Talladega. There should be some extension offices with gardens there. But they do have a William Bartram in Alabama Arboretum, which is going to be lovely to walk with the fall color. And then there is also the Bellingrath Gardens, which are wonderful and amazing. And that's in Theodore, Alabama. And then the Huntsville Botanical Garden and the Birmingham Botanical Garden. Those are all great places. You'll see lots of fall color, beautiful flower displays. So it's a wonderful
tour. Oh, man, I bet.
Have a great time, Eric, and send us pictures and let me know which gardens you visit. So Linda in zone 8B, she said, good morning. I missed the name of the weed killer, Teresa, and about the sand spur invasion. Could you give it to me, please? My dogs had me buy a lawn sweeper to use behind our golf cart to sweep the seed birds up. Also, Spectracide told me their concentration kills the seed so it won't sprout next spring. Thank you. Yeah, Spectracide has a product, and I don't like to give chemical names over the radio often. I like you to go in and check it because they change so frequently. So people listening in the future or listening to past shows may get a product that's no longer available. But let me just tell you right now, I'm going to read these names, so bear with me. Pendimethalin. You can look for a product called pendimethalin. Bensulide, B-E-N-S-U-L-I-D-E. Protamine, P-R-O-D-I-M-I-N-E. Orzolin and Benefin and Trifluralin. So I am going to put those in a post on our Facebook today, later on this afternoon, Linda, so you can look for it. But if you go in and you see the product, check the labels. Always read the labels. Follow the labels. That's the law. and see if sandspurs are mentioned in the label. It'll say what plants it affects, and it will say sandspurs. And that's an easy way to do it, and that keeps up with the changing times. You can always check that.
It's crazy because we haven't had sandspurs in X number of years on our property or pasture area, and then this year they just popped up. I mean, I want to say we hadn't had them over 20 years. We hadn't had them, but like you had said, somehow something got disturbed a layer or so under, and you're right, because we did end up laying a new sod in certain areas, and we've got sandspurs out the yin-yang again.
So, Lizzie, last week, first time in 20 years, downtown Orlando, we had to pull three sandspurs out of the front yard, right next to the curb.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm thinking that, one, it could be dogs, but two, I think more it's traffic from cars that you get from the car, or the garbage truck goes by and they just picked up a bag of sandspurs or weeds and, the sandspurs fell out. Somebody pulled into my yard that had sandspurs on their tires.
Yep.
And that's as easy as it gets.
I caught one of our cats. We have two cats. One's still a kitten. And he's chewing on something. I walk over. He's chewing on a solid sandspur. And I'm like, what? Number one, are you from the devil? Okay, who chews on sandspurs? But two, I'm like, dadgummit, now they're making their way in the house. And these are indoor cats. So I'm like, ugh.
They chew on anything. So the cats have been getting on my nerves this week. I'm trying to do certain things. I'm trying to get my newsletter out. And the cat just comes over and plops herself down on my chest. It just doesn't want to move, and I can't do anything.
Right.
Can't see the computer. Can't see, to type. And I'm blaming the cat. That's what I'm doing.
Sounds good.
So, Pam, I don't know where you're. Oh, you're in Zone 9B, Pam. She'd like to put in micro clover lawn. Do I need to scrape up the old lawn and weeds before I plant the clover? Or will it grow and take over the space and choke out what's there? Well, micro clover is a smaller variety of the more common Dutch clover, Pam. And it just gets to be 4 to 6 inches tall. I don't think it's going to choke out any weeds you have. So I am wishing that you would, 4 to 6 weeks before you start to put down your micro clover, whether it's seeds or just plugs, you can go ahead and clean up your weed issue in your lawn. And I would just leave your regular grass, but go ahead and clean up the weeds out of it. Clover can be grown, micro clover can be grown from 2 to zone 9. So you're in 9B, so you possibly will do well. Get a soil test and tell them you want to grow clover so that they give you the best recommendations for the fertilizer. But they do grow shorter than the white and red clover. So Lou Gardens has a beautiful patches of clover, white clover, and it looks just wonderful. So it's something that you can grow. It needs plenty of sun. It's not going to thrive in any shaded areas. And you can, add it to your existing lawn with seeds. But they do need to have moisture. They do need to have water. So it's not something you can leave and think, okay, once it's established, I don't need to water it anymore. It's going to need water pretty much once a week if the temperatures are, above 70 degrees. Also, too, you're going to have to reseed it or plug it every 3 to 5 years. It's not going to last. It's not going to last forever. So you just, want to make sure that you're just keeping up on it. For the South, there's always still radical rainfall. You want to plant the micro clover now. So September and October are the most optimum months to do it. And I was interviewed by Martha Stewart for the article on growing micro clover. So you can Google that and you can see how to grow micro clovers. Pam, great question. I think more of us should plant micro clovers or regular clovers. Because, you can have a dog and the dog's urine doesn't break down the grass or clovers at all. It can take urine really well.
Oh, wow.
So it's a nice plant, and it attracts butterflies and bees. So you want to be careful about that if you're allergic to bees. So great question. 8:25 here. So let me just start on pumpkins. So pumpkins are one of the most important vegetables in the cucurbit family, And it shares the cucurbit family with summer squash and winter squash. It's a gourd. But it is a wonderful, wonderful, I love pumpkin pie. And so it's called a dessert, and I love it. So put plenty of whipped cream on it and cinnamon, and it's I'm good to go. So these are some standard pumpkins for jack-o'-lanterns. Connecticut Field is the most popular variety for carving. Other names include Big Tom, Canner's Supreme, Common Field, Connecticut Cornfield, Golden Marrow, Lakeshore, Michigan, Mammoth. That Mammoth, you can just imagine, that's the one that's going to make lots of pies.
Mm-hmm.
Pure Gold and Yankee. So you can use pumpkins for pies, canning, stock feed, and carving. But Lizzie, you say your turkeys don't like pumpkins.
I mean, they picked at it.
Yeah.
But that was really about it. I mean, they liked the seeds, but it wasn't like they were going nutso over it.
Not like they do would. Watermelon.
It's crazy.
They love watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, but you can see a picture of a pumpkin carving by chickens on our Better Lawns and Gardens.
It's very good.
And thank you to Claire and Jesse for liking the page. I do appreciate that. So the best Florida pumpkins include Howden and Jackpot. That's Howden, H-O-W-D-E-N, and Jackpot. Big Max and Big Moon, okay? And then also, too, some of these pumpkins that I just mentioned, the best ones, Howden, Jackpot, Big Max, and Big Moon, can reach 200 pounds under ideal growing conditions. Can you see that on top of your burn pile? 200-pound pumpkin.
Yes, I can.
Funny Face is a semi-bush plant, and therefore it's good for growing in small gardens. And Atlantic Giant can be considered the best show variety, reaching over 200 pounds in Florida. Small pie pumpkins, varieties include Small Sugar, Cinderella, Triple Treat, Spooky, Winter Luxury, Cheese, Kentucky, and Kushaw. And then also, if you just want to grow ornamentals, the varieties include Munchkin, which these are all miniature ones that get to be 3 to 4 inches in diameter. Munchkin, Sweetie Pie, Buskin, Mini Jack, and Jack B. Little. I love that name, Jack B. Little. That's great. We have time. Let's go to Jan in Lakeland. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I bought some blueberry plants the other day, probably 2 days ago, from a local store here in Lakeland. They are rabbit eye varieties.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed when I got them, and they're in like 3-gallon pots. They're pretty good-sized plants. But I noticed when I got them, it looked kind of rough. And the girl said, I'll take a little bit off of them. And so I brought them home, and I noticed that they had some brown spots on their leaves. And as I got to looking closer at them, I thought, well, almost every single one of them have them on there. And I went online trying to figure out what it was, trying to find pictures and stuff. And I'm still not sure if it's a fungus, if it's a bacteria, you know, a blight of some sort. And I'm concerned whether or not I should keep them. They're not in the ground yet. They're still in the pots.
Okay. Well, I would keep them and I would plant them. Do not worry about the rain issues or the brown spots. Blueberries lose their leaves in the wintertime, and so they start to decline just in the leaf portion over the next few months. Mine are already starting to decline, too. And so if you don't feel comfortable with it, you can take them back. But if they're nice and they have a lot of foliage on them, I would go ahead and plant them. You can put a fungicide on them to prevent any new fungal issues starting, but I would go for it. Now, I think if you like them, I would keep them, okay? Don't worry about them. They're going to drop their leaves, and they'll be just fine. Thank you, Jen, for a great call. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls and text messages. Gardening, 1-888-455-2967. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we have grasses that we could be growing right now, so it's a great time to be planting Lemandra Breeze, Miscanthus Adagio. These are my favorite plants too. Muley grass, I'm not so hot on muley grass, but I mean, if you like it, it's a native grass. Beautiful pink flowers that are coming up right now, and you can like them. Dwarf Fakahatchee, white fountain grass, and lemongrass you can be planting right now. So you can do the white and red fountain grasses for your lawn. Seeding time for Bahia is nearly over. We have a few more weeks where we're going to have 85 degree temperatures. We are having the rain. So, but once the temperatures get below 70 degrees, then you're going to have to stop. And it takes 6 to 8 weeks for Bahia seed to germinate and get growing. They have, you know, the Argentina and Pensacola. I recommend the Argentina. It doesn't get as many Y seeds in it, but it takes 6 to 8 weeks for the seeds to germinate. And that 6 to 8 weeks is going to go into November now, and it's not going to be warm enough to germinate. So when you put it down, you're going to see grass coming up immediately, but that is not the Bahia. That is just to give you a kind of like a ground cover for the seeds to, while it waits for the seeds, the Bahia seeds to germinate. So you don't need to do that right now. Also, too, it's a great time if you need to replenish or fill in a lawn. It should be dense and healthy for you to keep weeds out. And one is to use a bagger. Sometimes when we have landscape maintenance companies, we don't have weeds until a landscape company starts to take care of our lawn. And that's because they don't clean the baggers out, and they bring weed seeds from lawn to lawn to lawn to lawn, from community to community. And they do the same with diseases and insect issues. So you want to make sure you're using sterile equipment, and then also, too, that your landscape maintenance company is bagging the clippings, or they're blowing off the lawnmower. They're cleaning that motor, the blades underneath. They're blowing them off at the site before they come to your house. So you it's okay to ask them that. Okay, before you come, I need you to blow your canopy underneath your mower. You need to go ahead and wipe it clean or blow it off. So you're not bringing weeds to my yard. That's going to help tremendously. Also, too, edging. Edging is so important when you're with your garden beds. I like to use metal edging to kind of delineate between turf and garden beds. But you can leave 2 to 3 inches of ground there that you mulch that is away from, so your grass doesn't go into your garden bed and those weeds get to be a pain in the butt. Dividing perennials in your bulb plants, like it was asked today on the amaryllis. Beverly asked on her amaryllis. Now's a good time to do it, so go ahead and do that. And also to holiday cactuses, you want to kind of keep them, now it's kind of to reduce the watering that they're getting. And then that way they will be going ahead and setting off blooms. Also, too, keep the night lights off of your poinsettias, holiday cactus, and calanchos, and they will start to bloom again. And so that will be great. Something Fishy reminded me that today, Saturday and Sunday, they have a 20% sale.
Oh, there you go.
Their coral, their plants, and their fish. So, again, they're not advertisers, but they just, it's a source for aquatic plants.
Yes.
That's really reasonable.
Well, and it's funny because it's like, I'm one of those people that, I mean, I would love to have like a koi pond and this and that, but I don't know where to start. And it's not that I didn't know that there weren't stores out there that provided this information or help or guidance, but there are. So it's good to know that they're there. So
also, I haven't been invited to your house yet to help you with your landscape.
Because
I want to see the turkeys.
Okay, you will probably walk out in front of a speeding semi after you walk onto my property and see what I did to it.
No, I don't mind that. You know, please believe me, the cobbler's children have no shoes. So I take care of everybody else's lawns and, you know, gardens and stuff. So I would love to see it, and I could do that. So tomatoes are beginning to set and hold their fruit early this month. So go ahead and look for those. You want to make sure that you are feeding your gardens every 3 to 4 weeks with a traditional fertilizer or a slow-release product. You know, those ones that are good for 90 days, like Osmocote, you want to make sure that you are applying it correctly. Follow the directions. And you can start planting the cool season vegetables around mid-month. What are the cool season vegetables? Well, the beets, the broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, and celery, collards, kohlrabi, lettuce, and mustard, onions, peas, potato, radicchio, radishes, and rhubarb, roquette, and rutabagas. I bought a rutabaga. I don't grow rutabagas, but I bought one for my stew. And it's getting to be stew time, you know, soups and stuff. I'll have to bring you my stew.
I'll eat it. Yeah. I'll eat anything, you and Tony. You and Tony should have your own restaurant.
I'll bring stew for you next week. Spinach and strawberries, Swiss chard, and turnips. We call those neeps. Neeps in Scotland, neeps and tatties.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's really cool. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 if you're in the garden area. We'd love to talk about it. So let me just see right here. I wanted to make sure. What am I? Just going through my thing.
If you missed anything from the show or want to catch up on anything, you go to our website, betterlawns.com. You can catch all the podcasts there.
There you go. So I wanted to talk about growing pumpkins. And so early August seeding provides a fall crop for late November. So if you want to plant pumpkins, August, end of July, August is a good time to do it. But if you're in South Florida, you can be growing pumpkin plants. You can seed them in August through March. Okay, August through March. So you can still be planting pumpkins now. It's not going to ripen until March, but, you know, you can go ahead. I love pumpkin pie all year. They should be spaced 6 feet in either direction except for the bushy types. You want to plant 3 to 4 seeds per hill, then thin them out when the plants are 2 to 4 inches tall. You can also add compost to your garden. They do really well in compost. You can put compost under each hill before seeding. And then also, too, you need bees for pollination, so make sure each plant gets pollinated. And you can do that by making sure you're not using chemicals in your vegetable garden area. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you. I have two questions. I have some avocado seedlings. Mm-hmm. I have 6 of them, and 2 of them, the stalk is as big as your thumb. They're 3 feet high, and they have 6 big, beautiful leaves on the absolute top.
Wonderful.
Now, how do I get leaves on down the thing? Because it's just really, really skinny. No leaves on it up except for the top.
Yeah, that's kind of the way they grow. They're not going to have leaves all the way up. So they're very happy in what they're doing. And I'm just telling you, you're doing a good job. It's a tree.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so it is a tree. So it's going to grow up. So they don't keep leaves all the way down to the ground. Okay.
Thank you. One other really quick question.
Sure.
Last year you were talking about tomatoes, and I had some that were too soft, so I sliced them, put them on paper towel, and put them out in the garage.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't take the seeds out of them. I just sliced them, and I thought, well, she's talking about a couple weeks ago you were talking about everything about tomatoes. So I thought, well, I'll just put these in the ground because you said it was time to do it.
Yeah.
I did, and what I'm getting is 8 or 10 or 15 shoots coming up. They're about 5 or 6 inches high. Now, how do I separate them? I got too many in each pot.
That is so cool. I'm so glad you did that. Okay, so what you're going to do is gently lift the whole pile.
Okay,
go underneath all, like, let's say 10 of them. Go underneath and lift them up and put them on a paper towel again. Then take your tweezers or a little knife and kind of very gently separate them so that you don't break the white roots. Okay.
Well, I tell you, it was really easy, and it was negligence just putting the round slice of tomato on a paper towel, you know, so, but they came up really good. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's very easy to just separate them, put them all in new pots, and you'll have some tomatoes before long.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Michael. Great. I love to hear that, don't you? Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am great. So, your vine is...
You threw me in the dumpster. I haven't received your newsletter.
Yes. I am whipping my back with a wire cord, okay? It's going out this weekend, Eileen. So, okay. I am just in the process of kind of like changing media markets and media companies, and I'm trying to get it out. I will get it out this next week, I promise you. I am
okay,
so sorry.
Fine.
Yes.
All right.
Fine.
Now.
But you'll love it when I send it. You love it. I've got some great pictures.
And is Lizzie in there too?
Lizzie is in there too. She's got.
No, sure. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yes.
All right. So that picture that I sent you was last week.
Okay.
Now it is full of those little viney things.
Yes.
What is that?
It is a weed. I know it's a weed. It's a broadleaf weed. It's a vine. I would throw them all away.
No problem.
Okay. Because I don't know the name of it, but it's that one with the white flower and it's stinky.
Yeah, it is. And I also rooted 3 more African violets.
Oh, excellent.
2 of them, I kind of cross-dressed them. So one is going to be pink, and one is going to be purple. I don't know what color it'll turn out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'll have to let me know. That's great. African violets are so easy to germinate, and they're so easy to take care of. I keep mine in the bathroom where I have the west sunlight, but they're not directly in the window, but they get that white or the exposure from the sunlight. And
right.
I maybe water them. They're in an African violet pot so they can get water from the bottom. And I never do anything, and they're just fine.
Yep.
They're very easy to babysit.
Yep. So one I just cut and put in water.
Uh-huh.
The other 2 I just stuck in the African violet soil. And that one is rooting like you wouldn't believe.
See, this is how nurseries get rich. Okay, so yes, the plants will root and turn into new bigger plants and multiply. So
that's right.
Wonderful. Well, good for you. You've got that green thumb still going.
I think so.
All right, hon. Take care. Have a great weekend. I love Eileen's calls. She's so good.
I love that she rolls with the punches. Like, oh, okay, so it's a weed. All right.
Yes. So I did have. Madonna, she sent me an email and she said, hello, Teresa. I really enjoy listening to your radio show on Saturdays. I have a landscaping question for you about plants and trees around a tennis court in Merritt Island. We have a root issue coming up on our court surface. About a year ago, we resurfaced the tennis court and removed some roots that protruded during the process. I've added the pictures below of the root damage to the palm trees and surrounding plants. It appears that the roots may be trying to break through the asphalt again. I wanted to ask you if you have any suggestions on how to prevent or block the roots from damaging our court or any other recommendations about plants and trees around tennis courts. So she shows me the pictures. They're nice pictures, and I can tell exactly what it is. So Madonna, thank you for sending it to me. I did email you back yesterday when you sent the photographs. I'm going to ask you to get a certified arborist's recommendation, because I see the photos, but since it's a commercial property and since it's near the tennis courts, so I wanted to get their opinion on what you should do, because the palm trees are too close to the tennis court. The asphalt does soften in the heat of the summertime and allows the roots to penetrate. But the roots should not get that big. And so I would recommend a root barrier, but really, 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 you know, promise me, and I sent you names of some really good certified arborists, and get their opinion so that if you need to move them back or replace them with other shrubs, that you get their recommendation, because they'll be eyes on site and can give you an exact recommendation on what you should do. Root barriers may solve the problem, but if it's too close to the asphalt, you may have to move those palm trees, which you can do, or just replace them and move back some small shrubs or some other landscaping that is recommended for that site. So I can help you with the shrubs and the recommendations, but I want you to get a certified arborist, and so you can get a good recommendation. And if anyone's looking for an arborist, you need to hire a certified arborist, okay? And a certified arborist, you can go to the ISA, International Society of Arborists, and you can put your zip code in and find a certified arborist in your area. I recommend that. Just because it's a commercial property, get eyes on the ground and make sure that you're doing that okay. So I want to thank all our callers today. Lizzie, we are so blessed to have so many great callers and text listeners.
Yes. We have the best listeners. And if you have any questions during the week or weekend, just text it and just, you know, start off with Teresa and then maybe your first name, your location, so she knows to give you the right answer, because I'm here 6 days a week and I see the text line, so I can always take a picture of it and send it to her.
Thank you. You do. And it's very nice of you. If you go to our Facebook page, you can go ahead and like it. We would love to do that for us. And share with your friends and family. If you do not get Better Lawns and Gardens on your radio station, please ask them to put us on. And sometimes some of you only get the second hour, like on Sundays. You don't get the first hour. You only get 1 hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. You can go to iHeartRadio and see all of the shows, and you can listen to both hours 24/7. You can get the show.
Yeah, go to betterlawns.com to catch all those podcasts.
And you can do that too as well. Real quick, I just want to say that make sure with this rainfall that you're not overwatering your yard. Shut your irrigation system off. Right now, your lawns only need 1 inch of water. If I can tell you anything, it's to get a rain gauge, put it on a fence or an unobstructed area in your lawn so you know exactly how much rain you have received. If we get 2 inches and you're putting another 2 inches on your lawn, you're really wasting the water and you're not helping your plants. Overwatering is not good for plants, and it's the most common thing that I see in landscapes in Florida. Practically every yard is overwatered. Every community, HOA, is overwatered.
Yes.
And there's no reason for it to waste. Fruit splitting on citrus trees is normal right now. I am seeing it, but it'll continue through November. It is just is. The fruit will split, especially with the raindrop. But if you do see it, maybe you are watering too much, okay? If you get in the rainfall, you can't help it. But if you're overwatering, you're going to see this the fruit split and the fruit drop on the ground. You can go ahead and feed your citrus one more time this month. That's good. Fruit trees do need to have, on a regular basis, water, nutrients, fertilizing, and making sure that you're taking care of any insect issues that happen. That's going to keep it healthy.
Yes, if they have any questions, can they email you?
They can email me at teresa.watkins@live.com. Go to my website, she-consulting.com. You can just Google me, Teresa Watkins, and capital S-H-E, she, gardening, and I pop right up.
Yes, and also next week we got a special guest coming in.
Gary Bachman is coming in, so you don't want to miss next week's show. It's going to be a blast.
So excited.
It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.